All right, hello. It's time for another Mondo Cool Cast. So, what have I been up to? About 2 months ago, well, I guess 2.5 months ago, I started swimming. So, I don't know if you can tell, I've lost like 80 pounds since July. And if you have a keen eye, you can tell on the YouTubes, although I'm not standing in front of the camera, so it's less apparent because you're only seeing me from like the sternum up. A lot of the times, the way I have it framed when I'm sitting there. Went to the YMCA today, and the pool's closed. I got there a half an hour early. I was very excited about this. I got up about 9:30. I usually have my alarm set for 10. It's like, fuck it, let's go. Tuesdays and Thursdays, the open swim is from like 5:30 in the morning to like 5:30 in the evening, in the afternoon. So, I was like, alright, because it's Tuesday, by the way, that I'm recording this. So, I'm early, I get ready, and I show up like almost an hour earlier than I normally do on Tuesday. I get changed, I take my little pre-swim shower, I'm like fucking amped to get in that pool, and the door from the locker room to the pool's closed. So, I go back out of the locker room to the other entrance to the pool. And I flagged down one of the lifeguards. I'm like, what's the deal, bozo? What's going on? And after I knocked on the glass and he started coming over, I saw the sign. And the pool is murky. There's low visibility. Pool pumps out, so it's probably going to be closed for the day. So I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, all right. This YMCA is near a highway that two towns over goes to another YMCA. So, I go and I swim there, and it was okay. It's a few years older, but it's still one of the newer ones in the area. It was nice. Less annoying crowd. Yesterday, I believe it's spring break in my city for the schools. So, there's like 9 trillion kids like throwing pool noodles at me, and that was pretty fucking weak. But anyway, this isn't the Jerry Terrifying's fitness podcast. Although I've been thinking about making a podcast about champion shit. Okay, let's take a step back. It's getting very, very close to the time to where I'm going to start moving my shit over to the woman's house. Another month or two. I keep saying a month or two, but now I've got a lot of pieces in place to where I'm going to start earning more income and be able to build the wall. I still need to do my taxes and get my tax money. That's actually going to build the wall. And then I'm going to make the move. So, when I do that, I should, at the end of the day, have a little more time to poke around on Mondo Cool TV and podcasts and videos. And I'll have all my shit in one central location. You know, when I build that room, there's going to be a studio. I plan on the wall that I build, just slamming up some drywall or whatever and painting it green and having, you know, just having a slick studio setup. I've been spending a lot of time thinking of ways to maximize space in my collection. I have all these diagrams of these fucking shelves I'm going to build. And I'm not going to tell you what makes these shelves special. I'm going to show you in the future. And that part is video game related. But I've also been thinking about doing a different podcast on sort of a different thing. So I'm all fired up again, like I was, you know, 12 years ago when I first got into super shape. The plan is next year I'm going to try to do a half Ironman. That's a 1.2-mile swim, 13.1-mile run, and a 56-mile bike ride, if memory serves. So I've got my mile swim down to 54 minutes and 26 seconds today. Yesterday was my record, 54:16. So, anyway, the goal is to get my mile swim down to about 45 minutes. And then if I can push it down to about 40 minutes, that'll be pretty legit. And then some point this spring, I'm going to start cycling on the beautiful cycle trails we have in the greater Dayton area. Anyway, the beginning of the month, this is the end of March, but the beginning of March, the Nintendo Switch released, and I put up a video of Kyle getting his pre-ordered Nintendo Switch. So, I went to Walmart with him, and there's a couple other people there, actually. There's someone there before us. I didn't think anyone was going to show up for a midnight Nintendo Switch launch. I don't know if I'm just old and crusty and I like older video games, but I'm still waiting for the PS4 port of Windjammers to come out. There's no fucking date on it. Is it out yet? That's the number one this gen game I'm looking forward to, is fucking Windjammers. Anyway, so you've seen the video, but I did film some of the wait, and I filmed the purchase of the Nintendo Switch. Now, Balzac, if you ask nicely, I'll send you the link, but I didn't make this public. I didn't want to get anyone at Walmart fired. I do have it uploaded and unlisted, so you need the link for it, and I bet Balzac's the only person that cares enough to fucking ask. So Kyle had pre-ordered it, and he'd been paying it off, like, sometimes with the card when he had a few extra bucks, sometimes with, like, a fucking sock full of pennies in true Adams style. Right, so we get there, we're, like, number two in line, he's paying for his shit, and the Walmart lady cancels it. And it takes time when you cancel an order for it to go back to a card. So, he didn't have money on the card to make the $300 purchase. I think it was like $390. Like after taxes and then Breath of the Wild. Something like that. So, they're like, well, how much cash do you have? And he's like, well, I was going to pay $5... because I owed $5 on the Nintendo Switch and then buy Breath of the Wild. So, I owe you $5. What's up? And so then she goes and powwows with another manager. And this is like taking like 10 minutes. Like, she fucked up. So they're like, just real discreetly, like, give us the $90. So, we walk out of there. The pre-order money had all been refunded. And he paid $90 cash for a new Nintendo Switch and Zelda Breath of the Wild. Now, there's not one human being on the face of this planet more excited about the Nintendo Switch than Kyle was. If you watch that video, he already knows, like, oh yeah, behind the kickstand's where the SD port goes. Oh yeah, this is how the things slot into this. Like, he knew, he followed it very closely, was very excited. I didn't know shit about the Nintendo Switch. I do know that, and it's changed since launch day, but I looked online to see how much for another cradle, and it was $90 for the one with an AC adapter and HDMI cable, which you would want if you're going to set that shit up in another room, like a basement or a bedroom or a living room, wherever, you know. I could think of three locations, those three locations I just mentioned, that I would want to have a dock for the Nintendo Switch if I were to purchase one someday. I would want one in the bedroom, living room, basement, and, you know, so that I could go from room to room, and that would be pretty fucking cool. I would not pay $90 for that, especially considering that the cradle is basically a piece of plastic with one little PCB on it, so it just routes the power to the system and converts the USB-C to HDMI. And you can get a USB-C to HDMI adapter for like $7 on Amazon. So I know the technology's not that sophisticated. So there's a bit of a markup. I was thinking I would pay $20 for the cradle, the AC adapter, and an HDMI. Or even just the AC and without the HDMI, just the cradle and the power cord. Like, I would be down to pay that much. Sorry, I got to answer this text. So I don't know. I would pay $20 for it. And then I think it's like $40 or $60 for the one without, for just the cradle. Very overpriced. I played a little bit of Bomberman. I did, after that... Okay, hold on. Let's take a step back. The people that got there before us waiting for the Nintendo Switch launch was a mom and a grandma. The mom's mom. They were getting it for their kid, and they're like, yeah, what games are you getting? And he's like, oh, I'm getting Breath of the Wild. I'm just like, I'm just picking up Bomberman. It's like, well, what's Bomberman? And I show the Bomberman. So I was like, Bomberman is life! And, like, so she wanted to get Bomberman. The Walmart didn't have any Bombermans. So we went over to the GameStop's midnight event, and I bought a copy of Bomberman. And we went over and played it at Kyle's. And it looks gorgeous. It's a brand new Bomberman, but there's input lag. And if you play online, it's even worse. Now, Nintendo, before the holiday season, I believe, they're going to start charging for their online play. And people are not impressed with Bomberman's, Super Bomberman R's online component. It's extra laggy, and then there's just input lag in the game, which I did feel, but I was able to cope with. I still died quite a bit. But I've never been wild about 3D Bombermans, because you kind of get hung up on the corners. Like, it doesn't have that grid-based movement down just right like the 2D Bomberman games do. And that's just something I've noticed about all the 3D Bomberman. So there's a little bit of that going on. I'm not... hold on, I gotta... Oh, crap. So now I gotta log into this shit. My Chrome was... acting a little shitty, so I cleared out my browsing history, and now everything sucks. Fucking pain in the dick. This is supposed to be easier, what I'm doing, but it's not. And then I gotta pretend like I'm fucking talking so that I don't have to edit out the dead air. But yeah, it felt a little laggy. Konami's come out and said that, you know, we are going to patch it. I don't know if that patch is out yet. I hope they do, but that sucks that everyone's first impression, a lot of people, this is probably their first exposure to Bomberman. And so we go to Walmart. That lady that I told Bomberman's the shit, she came in as we were leaving. I was like, oh, hi. And Bomberman's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting Bomberman too. So, oh, cool. So some little kid got a little bit of Bomberman, probably fucking hated it. You know, there's no romance dialogue tree option. Kids love that shit, I guess. So that sucks. And then I decide, hey, the Nintendo Switch is out. It's probably going to be pretty inexpensive to go pick up a Wii U. And they're probably, you know, stores are probably slashing prices to get the Wii U's that have been sitting there for 2 years off the fucking shelves. I want to play Breath of the Wild, and the only difference is a few lines of resolution. It's the difference between 720p and 900p, I believe, is the only difference. So, after having played a little bit of Breath of the Wild at Kyle's, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a Wii U. You know, I buy a Wii U now, there's a whole library, there's 5 years of games. So, I start looking online, Amazon sold out of Breath of the Wild, so I scramble and I buy it on ToysRUs.com, and I search every retailer, like multiple locations of the same stores in Dayton. You know, you're... this is sad. Went to Kmart. I thought, who the fuck goes to Kmart? Like, the two that are left in Dayton are just shabby as fuck. And the two last times I went to Kmart was when they were closing down the one in the city I live in, and they had a bunch of video games on sale, and I thought about getting Bayonetta. Well, since that time, that puts it in time frame for you, right? It's around time Bayonetta was coming out. So this is about 10 or so more years ago. And Kmart doesn't sell video games anymore. The electronics department is like a fucking RF adapter, an extension cord, and like an over-the-air HD antenna. Like, that was the electronics department. I think they had, like, a TV for sale. It was the saddest fucking thing I've seen in my life. I know retailers don't make a lot of money selling new video games, but holy shit. It was just a sad, sad state of affairs. It was like jumping into a time machine and going back to the 90s, walking into this fucking Kmart. So I start my search for a Wii U, and I can't find shit anywhere. I go to, you know, Myers, Walmarts, Targets. I even tried, like, off-the-wall places like Sears. Like, I think, like, in a Sears Nicole's one time 20 years ago, I saw a video game. Everywhere you could think of, multiple locations, different cities, canvassed the whole town. Mecha Menace in a comment was like, "You shouldn't have made telephone call or use app." It was like, you don't understand anything about wanting to put in the footwork and go, "It's because this retard rides a bike." Come on, Mecha Menace, get yourself a vehicle. I know you're a hippie and shit, but Get with the program. Get a fucking car, dude. It didn't take that long. And it was fun. I spent time with my girlfriend going, you know, looking around. Not one Wii U. Everyone's Toys R Us everywhere. They're like, "We haven't seen one since November." So the rumor on the internet is that, recently Nintendo stopped manufacturing Wii U's. And the rumor I have heard that I cannot confirm or deny, they didn't send any stock to stores for the holiday season, so what they had sold out. And I swear, I had seen, like, ancient packages, bundles, that's the word I'm searching for, bundles, that had been sitting on shelves for years. And It was just sad, man. So there's no Wii U's. So I look on eBay and Amazon, and the prices are going up. They're going for, you know, a new one, like $400 last time I looked. And I ain't paying $400 for a new one. I wanted a new one. But, and then the other rumor I heard is that they were selling new Wii U's on Nintendo's website as refurbished ones. So I don't know if it's just because there's the rush on Breath of the Wild that there's all the Wii U's are gone. I don't know. So I bought a refurbished one for $200. It's $219 shipped if you decide to get a refurbed Wii U. It came in a plain white box with a sticker that said this is a refurbed Wii U. And yeah, that was it. That's what's up. So now when you get the refurbed Wii U Pro, it does not come with the vertical stand. Now, the assholes at Nintendo decided to make it, you know, the Wii is box-shaped. It's a rectangle, so you can just put it vertical without the gay little stand that it came with, which is what I did, because I thought the gay stand was gay. And it had that clear plastic disc on the bottom that took up a lot of space, which I guess is supposed to, you know, so you give it enough breathing room. The cheapest Wii U I see on Amazon right now, and the newer used, I'm not, you know, any further details, $290. So about $300 for, who knows how hard of a life it's led. New Wii U, the Mario 3D World, $480 on eBay. $399 for the Mario Kart 8 bundle. But, okay, so the Wii U is rounded, and then on the side you're supposed to set it up vertical. It's got these two little pegs coming out, so, like, you just can't set it up. And so I saw on eBay, oh, and it also doesn't come with the charger cradle for the gamepad, for the controller. So on eBay, I started doing some poking around, and I got one that came with all those little extra fixings for $9 shipped. So now I got my vertical stand. It's placed on my shelves. It takes up not that much room. I like the gamepad charge cradle. That's what we use at my woman's house, you know. It always lands back in the cradle. And I like that. And then it also comes with a stand for the gamepad that's just a piece of plastic. I actually have that on my desk and use it for my phone. It's a good little stand for my phone. So that's dope. That was $9 to get the full Wii U experience. And I started playing some Breath of the Wild. Now, my girlfriend has a Link amiibo. When amiibos came out, she was all excited about them. And I explained what they were. It's like, it's got a little NFC chip, and it, like, it'll give you little bits of DLC. And she went out and got a Princess Peach and a Link, and I bought a Samus, because I thought the Samus one looked cool. And the Smash Brothers Link amiibo has a certain amount of probability of giving you an Epona. So I got Epona, and that's dope. And then I haven't really put a lot of time. I got to the second town in Zelda. I'm playing another game. I'll talk about that next. I'm still playing something else, and I want to finish this other game first before really jumping in to Breath of the Wild. But I wanted to make sure to get a copy of the Wii U version, because I imagine, you know, they're making more for the Switch, and they're really pushing the Switch. Now, they gimped Breath of the Wild for the Wii U, which is what sucks. So in the game, you have the Sheikah Slate, which is something about the same size as the gamepad, right? And originally, if you look at old E3 footage, it shows, like, you can use the touchscreen on the gamepad to set markers on your map, and you have the map available at all times. That's all been removed. And just the way that you interact with the Sheikah Slate in the game, it looks like it was supposed to, you know, do that cool fourth wall breaking thing where, you know, you interact with the gamepad like Link interacts with the Sheikah Slate. It feels like what they were going for. And that's all been removed so that the Wii U version doesn't have more features than the Nintendo Switch version. Which is also shitty, because Breath of the Wild was supposed to be the flagship title for the Wii U, not the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch just feels like... The Nintendo Switch, in a lot of ways, feels like the same concept as the Wii U, but going in a different direction. So now you have... The Nintendo Switch is a handheld with the capabilities of a console, whereas the Wii U was a console with some of the advantages of a handheld. Most adults don't take their handhelds out in public. You know, I have a job where I can play Game Boy, and, you know, there's no shame in playing a little bit of Tetris here and there. But, you know, I would take my 3DS to work if I could, but it's got a camera, and because of these privacy issues, I can't do it, but... Not a lot of people do. The most of the time when I'm playing a handheld, however, it is in the house. So it is cool that I can lay in bed and play Breath of the Wild on the screen and not have my TV on. Or I can have Netflix on my PS3 and be playing Breath of the Wild on the gamepad. That's kind of cool. So I've been building up my Wii U collection now. I always figured that, you know, fuck it, I'll get a Wii U someday when they, you know, clearance sale them. Well, that never happened. It's been such a colossal failure that that never happened. There were no massive price drops. It wasn't like the GameCube, where I bought a GameCube new for $99 and had the Zelda bundle. It's just like a completely different situation than whatever's happened to Nintendo in the past. And it's kind of sad. But, so now I'm building up my Wii U shit. I've got a couple of games, you know, I've had Bayonetta 2 and Sonic Racing. Now I've got Wind Waker HD, which is my favorite 3D Zelda. I've got Breath of the Wild. It came with Nintendo Land. And there's something else I got, but I can't recall off the top of my head. Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles X or whatever. That was in a recent episode of Edge. I do. Oh, and Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Very excited about that. Kind of sucks. Like, it has that cool big box with the amiibos shoved in it, and then it's just a regular off the shelf Toad. It's not like a Captain Toad amiibo. That's pretty lame. I do want to get Twilight Princess HD, because if you use that amiibo, you can have a little wolf buddy go around with you in Breath of the Wild, and that's pretty slick. So, So, that's what's up on the Wii U front. It's just kind of, you know, and I'm... I'm at, you know, garage sales, right? I've seen Xbox One stuff. I've seen PS4 stuff. I've never seen Wii U anything at a garage sale. Well, most normal fags don't even know what the fuck a Wii U is. So, I'm not holding my breath. So, I decided to go with the $200 refurb option. The one I got, it feels like it's new. But, you know, it probably got returned for some reason. Or it might be some of the unsold stock that they manufactured and then just never boxed and are unloading. So, there's really no way to tell. But I'm happy with it. So that's, Nintendo Switch, Bomberman's, Laggy, Wii U and Wii U accessories. What happened to the Wii U, Breath of the Wild. The game I want to finish, Dragon Quest VIII. I'm very near the end of the main storyline, but then there's a big... healthy amount of post-game content, especially because this is a remake and it has extra content and dungeons. So I want to finish that before I move on to Zelda. I've got about 80 hours in it. I've really been grabbed by Dragon Quest VIII. I can see why people say it's the best game in the series. Really been enjoying it. You know, it's standard JRPG shit, but I love it. I went to Florida last month. My first time going there, saw a dolphin, tried to find a sea turtle to ride, didn't ride no sea turtles. Saw the Gulf side and the ocean side, swam in the Gulf side. Never seen an ocean before that, so that was dope. Ate a fish on the beach, that was cool. Took my 3DS with me and played some Dragon Quest VIII, got a couple of street passes. Good times. What do we got? Last night at work, I put up my best Tetris score. I don't know off the top of my head, but I think it's in the ballpark of 530,000. I recently put out an Instagram of my top three scores in Tetris, and it was like 502,497,450,000. So now, my top two scores are both in 500,000. And I always, the way Tetris DX works, if I were to play a bad game and get, like, you know, 200,000 points, it will lower my power level on the, like, opening menu that tells you your power level, and I don't know, like, what that means or the metric, but I always just turn the Tetris off, or turn the Game Boy off, instead of letting my power level go down. So now... I'm not able to save another score unless it's more than 497,000, which is a pretty fucking good Tetris DX score, I think. And I also learned a new move. So I was just mashing on a button, trying to figure where to place a block, you know, just spinning it. And I was hitting the, I believe it's the B button. And the piece was all the way over to the left side of the screen. And, The button that you press, the way you spin the block matters, but if you have it pressed all the way against one of the left or the right edge, if you spin it the correct way, the Tetris piece will climb back up to the top of the screen and give you more time. I never knew this. Did anyone else know this? This is a new revelation. I've been playing that version of Tetris for like almost 20 years. Holy shit, I'm old and craggly. Fuck. I got that Game Boy Color in, I want to say 1998, so about 19 years I've been playing that version of Tetris, and, just now discovered that move. I've actually been meaning to, I never think about it when I'm at home, but I still have the manual for Tetris DX. And I want to see if that maneuver's in the manual. But that was pretty cool. I never knew that. So, like, if you're still on the slower levels, you can crawl back up. Now, usually I'm trying to get a good score, so when it gets real fast, I'm not trying to experiment. I'm trying to get those scores. So maybe one of these days, when I have, like, a high-level game going and I know I'm fucked, I'll try to get it to crawl back up. But once you get to, like, level 30, you know, the blocks are flying super fast straight down. Like, you have to look at the what's coming next to know where you're going to put it before it even starts. And I don't know. But I've been getting some pretty good Tetris scores. And if you're not following my Instagram, follow my Instagram. I post stuff there pretty regularly. It's slowed down a little bit since I've gone to Florida, and I've had some personal life shit going on. Some sad family event stuff that's not that slick. And I've been spending a lot of time swimming and getting back into the championship. So I'm almost down to my target weight where I'm going to start riding my bike again, because my bike has a weight limit, and at my fattest, I was like 100 pounds too fat for it. So in the coming weeks, definitely by summer, probably in middle of the spring, I'm going to be adding cycling to my training schedule. So that's the plan. I swim a mile a day, and once I get it down to 45 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, I don't know, we'll see where I go. The way I've been doing progression, I should be able to hit the target of 45 minutes, no sweat, in, you know, a month or two, I think. And then I'm going to add, I'm going to go up to a mile and a half of swimming and try to keep it under an hour. And then at some point, like, for a while I'd do my swim, eat a sandwich, and then I'd go to the other part of the YMCA and ride the video game bike. They have this fucking exercise bike that's got a little TV on it. And you, like, select the course you want to do. It's, you know, how many miles, and, you know, the hill variations change by, the course you select. And then you can race with the person on the video game bike next to you, and it's got like a little power meter, and it tells you your average speed and all this bullshit metrics that I don't know gear queers care about. I'm more put my ass on the bike. Am I going faster than the dummy with the $5,000 bike and the jersey and the aerodynamic helmet and the wraparound shades? Am I going faster than that faggot? Then I'm going fast enough. That's how old Jerry Terrifying does it. Am I making some gear queer sad about their $7,000 of bike equipment? Then target achieved. I like when I'm swimming, like I'm a big fatty, and I like swimming faster than the people that have been swimming for years. I've only been swimming since middle of January. You know, before that, you could throw me in a pool and I probably wouldn't drown, but I wouldn't call what I was doing swimming. You know, splash around like a retard, have a good time. But now I've started swimming, and I like when I can keep up with or do a little bit better than someone that's, you know, looks serious. I got their little swim cap on and their goggles and all that bullshit. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bad person. That is definitely a possibility. But I would do my swim, and then I would go ride on the cycle, which is really fucking hard. My legs are tired after an hour or so of swimming. And but then real life shit popped up, you know, hospitals and funerals and just shit going on that's not that cool and took away from my training time. But I'm looking forward to getting back into the swing of things and being serious. And I'm I want to say 30 pounds away from my target goal before I start riding my actual bike. So maybe next week, I will start adding cycling to the daily routine and start building up my miles on the video game bike before I hit the real bike on the trails. What I'm really most excited about the bicycle trails is getting my woman to go out there with me and riding out and having a picnic. Like, I rode by these beautiful picnic areas and open fields and forests, and there's like all these bed and breakfasts and ice cream parlors on the bike trail, and never had a woman to go with me on that shit. So I'm real excited about going out to some of these cool places and sharing it with my woman. You know, sharing that shit with the friends, cool, but, you know, it's different when you're with your woman. That's a different kind of cool shit. I think she'll enjoy it. I guess this is kind of related to shit I talk about. There is a metro park out here, and it's allegedly haunted. So, I went out and investigated it with my woman. There's directions how to get to the location of the hanging tree. And, you know, there's a story about, it's the Patty's house. I guess the last name's Patty. The dad hanged the daughters or something, and now it's haunted. So, we were walking out there to look at the spring house, and, I forget what you do at the spring house in olden times. And so we're looking at it, and on the way, it's not a very long walk. You park, you walk about 100 yards, you turn right, you walk about, I don't know, 50 yards, and there you are. It's like, okay, so after that right-hand turn and you're walking down the path to the spring house, to the left and to the right are two campsites. I didn't know you could camp in this metro park. So, god damn. So I want to camp there with my woman. I've never really camped before. I figure this will be a good car camping learning mission before I go off into the woods and sleep with grizzly bears and shit. And it's right next to a local haunting legend. There's supposed to be another ghost in the park that you see down by the dam and all this hokum pokum shit. And I don't know, I think it'll be a cool, exciting camping trip, being like right around the bend from the local haunting shit. I think it'd be a cool place to camp. I think my woman will get a kick out of that. I think she'll be real scared, and I don't know. It'll be fun. That's really all the shit I have to talk about. I mean, oh wait, no, it's not. There's another thing. I had a soft modded Wii that I fucked around with, and I got it to run some GameCube games. I wanted to download and play Fatal Frame 4, which is a Japanese exclusive. There is a fan-translated and patched ISO floating around the internet that I snagged. And I threw that on a USB drive because I don't have a hard drive for my Wii. I've just got a USB drive. And for $40, you can get a 120 gigabyte USB thumb drive. So I'm going to do that. And just, you know, that'll be enough memory for what I'm going to do with my soft-modded Wii. But I couldn't get the ISO to run, so I found some information. As like, it kept getting an error message. It would start to load the ISO, and then it would tell me to fuck off. So I did some Googling. Other people are having the issue, and the fix for it was to reinstall the soft mod. So I was like, fuck. So I go on a quest to find the best, most reliable, current, up-to-date soft modding technique, which will overwrite everything and it backs shit up, and it's just the most effective soft mod tutorial out there. And I follow it, and I got the damn thing running. Now, me and my woman have been playing Fatal Frame. We're pretty far into it, the first one. I downloaded it on a PSN sale for 99 cents, that and Fatal Frame 2. I would have bought Fatal Frame 3 if I had an extra dollar in the old PSN account at the time. And also, Fatal Frame 5 is what got me thinking about it. I'm going to buy that. It's $50 on the Wii U download service because it never came out physically. It's been censored in the West because Nintendo censors shit. You know, no wiggling titty bitches allowed. They want to avoid the drama that comes with it these days, I suppose. And they maintain a squeaky clean image in the West. But I had Fatal Frame on the mind. It's like, I think my woman will enjoy if I, you know, get this Fatal Frame situation, Fatal Frame 4 set up, and we're going to play through the whole series. And Fatal Frame is a game she played back in the day, or she watched a friend play it or some shit, I don't know. And she's been asking me to play it with her for years. So we've started playing it, and we're pretty far into it, and solving puzzles and working together and all that. And so I got Fatal Frame 4 set up, and I posted a picture of that on my Instagrams. Why aren't you following my Instagram? It's Jerry Terrifying. Instagram.com/Jerry Terrifying. Or just look up Jerry Terrifying if you do have the app. And just follow my Instagram and give me likes on all my pictures, because I like getting likes on my Instagram pictures. So that, I think, is everything. I'm going to slam this together real quick. And I can't think of anything else. I wish I had those other things on my notes. The Wii stuff. But if you don't have a soft-modded Wii, do it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's it. I'm done. I got to deal with this developing situation that you keep hearing me texting back and forth. My woman's in a panic about some dumb shit. So I'm going to talk to her about that. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you next times. Actually, guys, I forgot. Comments. I have some comments and some voice comments. I'm not sure what, I could probably figure it out if I try to not be such a stupid asshole. Looks like the last episode was December 30th, so we're going to play a couple of voicemails and read a couple of comments. So, Death Adder writes in, "Right before the Balzac segment, I got filled with so much excitement and anxiety that I literally had to go take a shit before listening to it. And it was well worth it. Excuse me. It was well worth voiding my bowels for. Hearing Balzac's voice for the first time was what I imagine seeing Dwayne The Rock Johnson naked for the first time is like. As for the possible return guests' co-hosts, they all bring something to the table. Mecha Menace seems to have a bizarrely calming effect on you. Retro Kaiser is the master of diversion. Shintai is the best at calling you out on your shit. But I'm going to throw out Mitch on this one. He had a high energy and a skeleton fetish, if I remember correctly. The short-lived Jerry and Mitch run is underrated." I agree. I liked that run, too. "I'll try to call into the hotline more. It's just I've always been a comment kind of guy. Maybe I can down a bottle of gas station wine and have Metal Jesus call in. Epic show as always, bro." Yeah, I agree. I like the Mitch era quite a bit myself. Let's see. Mecha Menace writes in, "I've read about third-party power adapters causing all sorts of problems for other consoles, so I'm not surprised by your problems. Keep your eyes open for multimeters at garage sales. The wiring in the house sounds suspect. I recommend a meter with a digital readout for accuracy when troubleshooting. Fluke is the best manufacturer. What do you find better about selling on Amazon versus eBay?" Couldn't tell you. I've never sold on eBay. "Wiki article on psychology of pricing," and he's got a link in the comments of the last episode, "that lower first digit jumps out at people when making a choice. On the other hand, selling at a higher price in the same condition sometimes makes people believe they're getting a better copy. Eventually, someone will buy your bullshit for $10 or $20 above the retail." I guess I was talking about selling shit on Amazon. Yeah, there's no reason. I've just had an Amazon account forever, and way back in the day, I'm not sure if this is true, but I never wanted to fuck with auctions on eBay, so I just sold on Amazon. You just set a price and sell it, and it's done, and it's over. So let's go ahead and we're going to stop here. We're going to go ahead and play one of these audio comments that I got, and then I'll come back and talk about it.
Hey, man, I did something cool based on your advice. Let me explain. I got my Wii U at launch day, so it is as old as physically possible, and I play the shit out of it. And I hear that Nintendo stopped making them. I think the phone cut off. Or did it? Okay, never mind. So yeah, I went and bought a brand new one with Mario Kart built in, the built-in bundle. And that means now I got a Mario Kart disc I can sell. So what I did was I transferred my Wii U over to the new Wii U. That way now I got Mario Kart pre-installed. I grabbed a stack of games, like 9 games, games I didn't need and or were finished with, or Mario Kart, which I don't need anymore. So I sold my old Wii U with the 9 games for $400. And after tax, my Mario Kart bundle cost me $388. That's Canadian. So I got a fucking shiny brand new Wii U system. The last of the print runs, the most end-of-the-line new ones. And so hopefully mine will last me many more years to come. And the jerk-off that bought mine out of me, theirs will last not that much longer. Later, motherfucker. Yo, JT, it's Demez back in the house. Yo, when it comes to making a YouTube video for a trailer for the Mondo Coolcast, I got a hot tip for you. You don't got to even make a separate video every time you make a Mondo Coolcast. You can have a generic, hey, a new Mondo Coolcast video is up, and you can post that shit. Then, after week or two or three, whatever, delete the video, you see? Then you post it again when you put a new podcast drops. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know it'll certainly help me. I'm all over YouTube all the time, but I'm not all over Twitter necessarily. I don't always see that you got a fucking cool cast up, and I don't want to miss them. You know what I'm saying? Later, motherfuckers!
Alright, so Demez called in, which you can do at the telephone number. Google Voice has changed their shit up, so thanks, guys. I have no idea where anything is at or how it works. Cool. I was going to tell you the phone number. I'm going to have to look it up a different way. But Demez called in, and using the idea that I had of getting a new PlayStation 3 at the end of the production run when I replaced my Super Slim, or no, when I retired my 60 gig and started using the Super Slim as my work bitch for playing PlayStation 3 shit. And he did that with the Wii U, which fits in very well with this episode. And it looks like he did that in the right time, because at least in America, Wii U's have vanished, as I discussed earlier. So I'm glad that tip worked out. He also made a suggestion of making a generic, hey, a new Mondo Coolcast is up video, and then just, you know, delete it and put it up every time that happens. While I that's a good idea in general, I like to keep, like, people might comment on it, so I'd like to keep it up. So I don't know. I might just make some quick bumpers or something that are easy to fart out and make a little bit unique and all that shit. But I don't know. That's probably the smart thing to do. But when have I ever done the smart thing? You know what I'm saying. We got one more Demez comment. Let's stop and take a listen to that.
Yo, it's very terrifying. It's Demez checking in. Hey! You gotta get yourself a motherfucking Nintendo Switch, bro. Then I can whoop your ass at Bomberman R. And then I can whoop your ass at Fast Racing RMX. So, Best payment, eh? Will ya?
Okay, so the last voicemail from the Mez is to get a Nintendo Switch. I will. I liked it when I had my hands on it in the handheld mode. It was very comfortable. I like the idea of being able to take the two sides of the controllers and using it for Bomberman, let's say. It felt good in the hands. However, some consumers... And the first thing, if you go back and watch that video I made with Kyle, the first thing I said is there, like, felt on the dock to keep you from scratching up the screen? And some people, and, you know, and especially kids, some people have been trying to cradle the system and scratching it. And I see myself taking it in and out of the... I think I would use the gimmick quite a bit. You know, for recording gameplay footage from it, I would obviously be using the cradle. And, you know, sometimes I'd want to go continue playing a game while taking a fat dump, you know? However, the time being, there's nothing that I'm really that excited about software-wise. I've already played the shit out of Mario Kart 8. I've probably played Mario Kart 8 more than any other Mario Kart, because my girlfriend has it, and she likes it quite a bit, so we've all played that a lot. And that's getting ported with Splatoon characters, so I mean, it's getting all the DLC, which we already have, and it's getting a few, you know, a track or two and a character or three, like, or whatever, you know, so it's really not that much incentive for me to go out and get. I would like to try Splatoon 2. I've never played the first one. Hopefully it doesn't use the gyroscopic, I don't know, the fucking waggle aiming or whatever that I think you have to do. I will get a Switch in time. You know, if I come into some money, I'm getting a Switch. You better believe it. And I'll throw down on some Bomberman with you, Demez. He also mentions that he's not always on Twitter. And then I was listening to some of the old voicemails to see if, you know, I got all of them for this episode. And I was listening to one from Freddy from that was played in the last episode, that he does like the setup, being able to call in or text. And keep in mind, it's not just voicemails that work with the Mondo Cool hotline. And actually looking at the Google Voice shit right now, they just updated it to where you can send and receive pictures. Like, you can text pictures with Google Voice now. That's something that I guess you weren't able to do. So now if you're listening to the podcast on your phone, which that's, you know, I listen on my Android. I got a Galaxy S5. I upgraded to a 5-year-old or 4-year-old smartphone from my piece of shit Windows phone. I use an app called Player FM. You know, I subscribed to the Mondo Cool RSS feed, so that's an option for you, you know, Android users. You can do that. You don't, but then the show also appears on iTunes, and you can listen to it on the website. So I assume I have all my bases covered with the Android iPhone and just general internet support. But with the Mondo Coolcast hotline, you can comment straight from your phone. If I listened to podcasts that had this as an option, that you could just call in and leave a voicemail, I would do that while driving, obviously. I would, you know, I might even text him a comment behind the wheel of my fucking death trap. And I wholeheartedly recommend that you do not do that. Pull over. Don't text while drive. We've seen the propaganda. It's totally unsafe. I tend not to text and drive. But I would leave a voice comment while driving. I will make a phone call in the car. But obviously, I don't recommend that for anyone that listens to the program. But I understand, you know, we're all getting old and crusty, man. The Mondo Coolcast has been on for... Hey, Balzac, tell me how many years the Mondo Coolcast has been on. Like 6 or 7 years? We're all old and shitty now. And we're just getting older and shittier and have less and less and less time. So if you don't want to go to the website and leave a comment on the episode's post or tweet or whatever, you can just go ahead and slam the Mondo Cool hotline into your contacts and leave me a voicemail. You know, I remember back in the day when we first started the podcast, I would get audio comments. You had to fire up a microphone. You had to own a computer and a microphone. It's 2017. People aren't owning desktop PCs like they used to. They're not all fucking neckbeard lunatics like I am. Fewer and fewer people have laptops. More and more people just consume content on their smartphones. So I really do appreciate that Freddie likes, that one person thinks that that's a cool... Go back and listen to the comments in the last episode. He did seem to appreciate that he just can save the number in his phone and he's got something to say to the Mondo Cool Cast. He can just say it. Speaking of which, I sent him a copy of Dragon Quest 1 and 2. I hope you're listening to this. Let me know what you think of the game. Do a little bit of grinding. It's a grind-heavy game, but I read a sentence once that made JRPGs click for me. Just if you enjoy the aspect, if you enjoy the combat, it's not a chore. It's fun. Like, if you can enjoy it. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So then I gave it a shot. It's like, oh, yeah, I do enjoy this. And I do enjoy playing with the mechanics in Dragon Quest. Now, they're not very complex in Dragon Warrior 1 and 2. That comes later in, like, 3 and on, where you start, you know, casting buffs and debuffs and magic spells and... Dragon Quest 1 is a very short game and is very simple, but it is enjoyable. I did like it. And Dragon Quest 2 is a little, I don't know. I liked it a lot until the end of the game, and it just sort of fizzles out. Anyway, enough talking about the Mondo Cool hotline, and let's give you the number. That's 937-419-1223. You can text it. You know, if you got a comment, you can text it. Make sure to include who you are, you know, because I don't even know if you can save contacts in Google Voice. Maybe I'll fuck around with it when I'm done. But, you know, I'm not saving anyone's phone numbers. I'm not doing anything evil. I don't even know what you would do evil with that. But I like playing the voicemails, and it's real easy to just click download and throw the MP3 in the episode. It's fucking phenomenal. And then you don't have to worry about, you know, recording things. I believe Death Adder recorded one once on the hotline and his computer, and I did play the better audio quality one. But me, personally, I kind of like that it sounds like a voicemail, that it's a phone message. It just sounds more talk radio-y to have that. And I do look forward to when I get set up in my other location. I would like to start doing the podcast on a regular schedule and having call-ins. Like, that was the big goal once I started doing it live, was to have live call-ins and being able to shoot the shit with people. Maybe I'll figure that out one day. Anyway, that's 937-419-1223. You can throw that in your phone. If you have a comment, you can text it, you can voicemail it. And now, apparently, according to this thing that popped up, since it's the first time I've logged into Google Voice for months, since probably the end of December when the last episode came out, you can text pictures. So if you see a picture of something that you'd like to submit to Mondo Cool, you can just text that shit in. I think that's very convenient. You know... If you're a computer guy, I think it is easier to just email some shit. But, you know, if you're a phone person, and I understand a lot of people are, you can just text in cool pictures. Now, I imagine Demez is going to start sending in some pretty crazy shit. And, yes, consider that a challenge. Text some fucking pictures to this thing and let's see if it works. Because I don't know if I can text them to myself. I don't know. That's enough rambling about the comment situation. So I'm going to get this edited together. I've got just a little bit more time to fart around before I have to, you know, get ready and go to dumbass work and sit in a fucking cubicle and be at the mercy of all these deaf assholes. But I am looking forward to when I get moved in and settled and have more free time to sit in a game room and in a command center in a fucking Terror Dome 2.0 and just have all sorts of slick shit set up. And I am trying to make more of a social media push, so you know, I've actually responded to a couple of Demez's tweets on Twitter. I want to start getting into Twitter again. I've even favorited or liked some posts. I really don't know shit about Twitter. I'm supposed to, like, retweet something when you like it. Like, I don't fucking know. But I got all that shit on my phone now. And I probably have mentioned how I set up. So everything I post on Instagram then gets dispersed to my Twitter. And I made a Tumblr that it automatically posts to. Like, I don't fucking use Tumblr, but fuck it. I set it up to where it posts there, so maybe someone will see some shit on Tumblr and find their way to the Mondo Coolcast. But yeah, once I get my new studio zone set up, I'm going to do some filming for the next episode of Mondo Cool TV. And it's like pure autism that's stopping me from working on other episodes. I want to get the next episode done, and to do that, I need Kyle and Matt, and if I can find someone else, to sit down and film a bigger thing. So, I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm looking excited to having my studio and downtime that I can just be near it and work on things. So maybe 2017, maybe 2020 will be the year of Mondo Cool TV. They're coming. I'm still a member of the TV place. I can throw up episodes whenever the fuck I want. And, I don't know. That's enough rambling for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope there's still people that listen to this shit. I do look forward to setting up live shows and a consistent schedule again. And I've got a list of people I'd like to interview. Maybe one of these days I'll throw out an invitation and do that. Anyway, that should be it. Until next time, I have nothing to say here. The show is over. Stop listening. Find something better to do with your time.